Wash your hands.
Yeah, wash your hands.
Be afraid of the flu also.
Yeah, I don't know. It's one of those things where I think we're just trying to stay as logical as possible mm-hmm. right now. And, yeah, especially at the hospital. I was in the bathroom with someone who was, like, visiting someone at the hospital. And I hadn't had any other interaction with her. I came out of the stall, I washed my hands. She's like, so that coronavirus. And I was like, oh, okay.
My favorite thing to come out of this is that maybe Americans are learning how to wash their hands now. So that's a good thing. That was, you know, a hard lesson to learn. But a byproduct of that is now, like, BuzzFeed is putting out listicles of, besides, people always say, like, oh, you need to know how long 20 seconds is, sing the happy birthday song 2 times. Yeah. They have a list now of other stuff. And my favorite was the chorus of Africa by Toto.
That's a good one. I've been singing Lizzo's Truth Hurts chorus.
Oh, that's a good one,
because that's a good, that's a bang. Yeah. Like, you know, it's me in the bathroom, like, everything great, well, it gotta be great.
And you're just, like, singing to yourself. Yeah, it's good. That's so good. Either that or the other one that I liked was the Imperial March. Like, just from the Imperial March. Like, oh my god, that's so great. Hey, guys.
Oh, hey.
Oh, hi. Didn't see you there.
Yes. Welcome back to the Drunk Poet Society. I'm Taylor.
I'm Felice. And we have been gone for a little while.
Yeah, you know, life gets busy and stuff.
Oh, man.
I honestly, like, we were just saying, I am still reading, but I took a break, I guess, just because, like, time and stuff like that, but it's good to get back into the swing of things.
It's just like working out. You gotta, like,
make it a routine.
Make it a routine.
And then it's easy. But super happy to be back. Mm-hmm. Super happy to be talking about a book that I really genuinely enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
We'll rate it later, but spoilers, I liked it.
I am so surprised, too. Like, I read this book maybe 10 years ago. It was a long time ago. And loved it. And I was like, do I need to read it again? Like, yeah, I'll read it again. Okay. And as I started, I was like, I do not remember any of this stuff. So I was like, okay, it's really, really good that you did that today.
Yeah.
We are reading, or we're talking about, we already read, The Night Circus by Erin Morgenstern.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been out for a while. I can definitely look at the, come on, date, 2011. So I guess it wasn't possible for me to read it 10 years ago. But feels like it was a while ago.
Yeah, and I mean, it's definitely one that I would come back to and reread at some point. I thought it was really good. I'm excited to talk about it. Drink, though. So the evolution of us trying to figure out what drink. Originally, I was just looking up, like, circus drinks, but everything had cotton candy in them or something like that. And I was like, neither of us are going to want a cotton candy drink. And
no.
So I found a gin in my cupboard that was called the Hat Trick, which had a magician on the cover.
Yeah, you'll be able to see it. We'll feature a picture of the bottle on Instagram. And the cocktail consists of about 1.5 ounces of Hat Trick gin, 1/2 ounce of lemon juice, and we topped it off with about 5 ounces of Mum's sparkling wine. Yes. Oh, it was rosé also. Sparkling rosé.
So shall we cheers?
Cheers. This is our... We don't have a name.
Oh my god. We're terrible.
Let's go with... what did I like earlier? I'm gonna say it completely wrong. The Revoir? I can't make those sounds.
No,
I'm so sorry. If
you know the people with the red scarves.
Yeah, that's it. We have beautiful red cups. Cheers to them. Did we already cheers?
No.
I'm into it. It's fine. I like all of those things.
You know, I think I like this better than if I was drinking, like, straight sparkling rosé, just because, not usually my drink of choice, but gin makes everything better. So, I'm excited.
Well, and the citrus kind of, like, it seems like sometimes with just champagne or sparkling wine, it doesn't matter how good it is, there's always kind of like an edge to it.
Yeah.
This kind of smooths it out a little bit.
Yeah,
I think.
And also sometimes it could be, like, I don't know, too sweet as well, and the citrus kind of, like, brings out different flavor. I don't know why this reminded me of it, but earlier today I was at a 2-year-old's birthday party, and it started at, like, 11:30, and then the group of, like, adult friends that get together and don't have kids, but we go to support our friend with the 2-year-old, we're like, wow, you know, it's so weird because I came fully expecting a mimosa bar, because that's just what I've come to expect when I come to these parties. But then I realized it's a 2-year-old's party and there was no mimosa bar. And I was like, oh, part of me's disappointed. They could have at least... And then my friend was like, you could at least leave out, like, sparkling wine and, like, a Capri Sun. And then we were talking about what constitutes a mimosa bar. Like, at what point does it go from, like, just, like...
How many ingredients does it need to be a mimosa bar?
To be a mimosa bar. Mm. And so we got down to, and you need, like, at least a juice box and then sparkling wine. Mm. But that's our hot take.
Oh, yeah, I saw all those pictures. It looked lit.
It was very fun. There was no mimosa bar.
You know, what level? There were no mimosa bars in the night circus. But it seemed like we also went with champagne. There's a lot of champagne in this book.
A lot of drinking.
A lot of drinking in this book. So where do we want to start with?
Just basic premise.
Celia and Marco, when they're kids, it's Celia's dad and Marco's guardian, essentially. They kind of make this deal. They, like, make it into there's some kind of competition. We don't know exactly what it is, but we know that there are magical properties, and we kind of follow their lives for the rest of the book for this competition that nobody really knows the rules to.
Yeah.
And until the end, you don't really know, like, how a winner is declared. So they kind of keep you guessing for a little while as far as the challenge goes, but the challenge, like, the stage essentially for this challenge is the night circus.
Yeah. And, you know, in the beginning, you don't really know much except for the night circus rolls into town, and you just wake up, and you're like, oh, circus is here.
Yeah.
It only is open at night, and there is this, like, mysterious air to it. I think there's some people who...
Only two of the people that are in the circus age.
Yeah.
And it's two kids that were born the very first night of the circus. Nobody else shows aging.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really interesting. And so that is the general gist of it.
Yeah.
I thought, first of all, I didn't really know what to expect going into this book. Like, I don't even think you gave me, like, an inclination of what it was about other than, like, a circus rolls into town at night.
I have been trying to get you to read this book for the last 2 years. I feel like every time we've had a moment where we're like, what book should we read? I was like, have the night circus.
And then I don't know why, but I think... Maybe it was me judging a book by its cover. It's not even like it's a bad cover. It was just like...
No, it looks a little frivolous, though, maybe.
Yeah, and, like, maybe I just didn't think it was gonna be as, like, deep or as engaging as it ended up being, because there was so many layers to this book, and every time I learned something new about a different character, this one I listened to, like, on a lot of my drives, and I just wanted to keep listening. Like, I binged listened to this book.
I think that I've read... I feel like I've done this only a handful of times with the books that we've read on this podcast. But because I actually physically had a copy of the book, I did not listen to it. But I want to say from about the page 200 until the end, and this is a 500-page book, was, like, one sitting. I was just on the couch on a Sunday. It was probably a beautiful day outside. I should have, like, gone outside... Maybe, and still read my book.
But,
that ending, you just, because I didn't remember, I was like, I don't remember any of this stuff.
Yeah.
What the hell happens? Yeah. Like, I have to know.
Well, I think starting from the beginning, like, you're introduced to, first you're introduced to Celia, who, I always get confused with Cecilia and Celia. It's Celia.
Celia.
Right?
Okay. Yeah.
You get introduced to Celia. And she's pretty much presented to her father, like, hey, you have a daughter, and he's like...
Her mom died,
and dad's like, oh, okay, and he's an illusionist, and, and he, like, she has this kind of innate ability to do things, and we don't really know, like, it's not presented to us in a way that it's like, oh, magic exists in this universe, it's just, these people have these abilities, period. You know, and that's it. And then as you progress through, like, okay, you realize that she kind of has a temper, so she might break her dolls, and then her dad's like, well, you better put them back together, and so she, like, magically reassembles her dolls and stuff. I thought the craziest, though, part was, like, so now we're skipping ahead, the handshake happens, challenge is going on, or the training happens, and you find out that, like, part of her training as a young kid was her father, like, cutting her fingers.
I was just gonna say that. Like,
and then she had to heal herself, and
like,
I was just
all, like... That was the trick. I think she's, like, reflecting back from when she was a kid, and she's like, yeah, I knew that I was really, really great when he could, you know, when it was cut, and I could heal them all at once.
Yeah, and you were
what?
Just like...
Because I think she's trying to heal somebody else, and she's like, I don't know if I can do that. I can do it for myself. I don't know if I can do it for somebody else. Oh, man. And based on the fact, so Marco was just kind of plucked out of, like, an orphanage or a workhouse or something. So I don't know for him if it was innate abilities or if it was just the man in the gray suit who, like, was like, it looks like he'll do. Yeah.
And I don't think it was necessarily, like, specified like that either. I almost don't think he did have innate abilities. Yeah. I think it was more so the man in the gray suit wanted to prove, I can train anyone to do this. You think that... I'm gonna beat you. Yeah, you think it's, you know...
You think that, yeah, yeah. So, an illusionist daughter, you know, does... I mean, did show natural propensity. This is all... time focused. So time, this time that we've got wonderful, beautiful clocks. Nobody is aging. So much time is passing. Pretty much everything has to do with time.
Yeah. And, you're introduced to, or I actually like how the man in the gray suit is probably like the worst parent who could adopt this young boy, because not only do you immediately
you not only immediately
enter this child is solely picked to be entered into a challenge, and but
and spoiler alert, sorry, read the book.
Yeah,
turn this off now if you have not read it, but spoiler alert, it's a challenge to the death.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no
what.
And we don't really know that, but it's definitely implied that,
and
the loser dies.
But like, I would say that Hector is even worse though, because it's like, you're so cocky that you think your daughter's gonna win when that you are risking her life.
Yeah.
Like, that's how much you care? Like, but, I know you just met her and stuff, but yeah. Come on.
But, like, Man in the Gray Suit also, like, adopts this kid, mm-hmm. is just training him, and doesn't even give him a name. He's like, you figure out your name.
Kind of like Harry Potter. Dumbledore is just, like, keeping Harry around to be sacrificed.
I thought you were referencing the name. I was like, did Harry Potter give himself that name? I don't remember that part.
No, Dumbledore is just keeping him... Anyway, I don't want to get on that soapbox. I have opinions about Dumbledore.
We'll get to the second book soon this year. Which, by the way, side tangent, I got all the books, like, in a set for Christmas, and every time I read them, I insist on using my wine glass that says Axio Wine. It's great.
Yeah, that's good. If I was, I still have my, I drink and I know things.
Yeah.
Game of Thrones mug, but there's no more. There's no more books. There's nothing I can do. Maybe that's a book that we should do.
Game of Thrones?
Dig in. Anyway, back to the Night Circus.
Yeah. I think some of the things I liked about this building up until we actually get to everything that's going on at the Night Circus is it was a place...
It smells so good.
Yeah, it's
also the gin makes this drink smell so good.
It's based in enough reality that you can kind of, like, suspend your disbelief in a lot of it, and for a second, like, unlike a Harry Potter where you're world building, like, there's this whole secret hidden world, this is happening in front of people's eyes, and there's instances during the training of the challenge, like, especially when they're young adults, that you know, Marco is in a relationship with meets girl named, I have this.
I don't think she was on my list. By the way, we both, there are enough characters, we both have lists of characters.
Yeah. Isabel?
Isabel Martin, yeah. Yeah. I was like, so, is she even on my list? Yes.
And one of the first, like...
Who, like, read tarot and was it, like, a fortune teller. But, like,
one of the first really cool magical things that Marco does is covers her eyes, and then, like, when she opens them, she's in a different place. Mm-hmm. And she's not actually in a different place. He's an illusionist who used a charm so she sees things differently. And I was like, wow, how cool is that? Because, like... Not that that could actually happen, but part of you thinks, like, wow, that could happen. Like, you know, that wasn't so surreal that, you know, part of you now wants to believe in magic. And it's one of those books, for me, that brought that feeling of, well, maybe magic could be real because, like, these people are living in a real world,
and it's kind of just, like, a really beautiful time loop. And I think that's why all the Revors, I really don't know which of those is correct. I'm sorry. I'm going to stop saying it. I'm going to call them dreamers.
Yeah.
maybe that's what attracted them to this. Like, people are definitely attracted to things that are consistent and don't change. And at the same time, the circus is, like, adding and changing all the time because Marco and Celia keep, like, adding different exhibits to it. And you find out as you get in that Celia is, like, the one who's transporting it everywhere. So Marco Polo, the way that Marco got in was, he's like the assistant for the circus creator, mm-hmm. essentially. And, he, what's his name?
Chandresh.
Lefebvre. He essentially like, conceptualized this entire thing with his, like, evening dinner party. So,
yeah,
like,
midnight dinner.
This midnight dinner. So this whole group kind of, like, had different says and different things. Maybe it was costumes. Maybe it was, you know, some kind of design. And somehow, I have a feeling Hector and the man in the gray suit kind of were kind of the reason that he had all these ideas and came up with them. Like, I think they're just looking for an arena. But Marco worked for Chandresh, and it did not always work out well for, it worked out well for Marco most of the time, but not for, Chandresh.
Yeah, and, it was interesting because, of course, that when, I also like kind of the intro of Celia to Marco, where they're auditioning illusionists for the circus, and, all these people are coming through, and, you know, Celia's sitting there very, like, kind of out of place, because there's all the, especially male illusionists coming in for the auditions, and then she comes in, and one of her first tricks, or not, sorry, that was a lie, she has a raven, I believe, the bird that, you know, is flying around, and then turns into whatever, but the coolest thing I thought was the way she could just change her outfit, and they were like, because, you know, only Marco really knows how any of this could be taking place, everyone else is like, oh, she's an illusionist, so, and she, they go, like, oh, but you could never wear that dress, because she was wearing, like, this green dress, and like all black, and so she like touches her waist, and then she's in this like tight fitting like black dress and stuff. Like, it was just, and I'm describing it so terribly because it was written so beautifully.
It was my favorite though, as far as Celia's dresses go, because she's very clever. Was the one she wore to the party the first night that her and Marco kissed.
Oh yeah.
Because it changed to the color that like was, I think, the emotion or something of the person that she was opposite. So, like, when she was dancing with Marco, it turned green and went, I loved that. I thought that was so cool. I would watch this miniseries, this movie, this whatever. I do not know why it is not already in development. I feel like it would be such a beautiful visual. One of my favorite characters, and this was Herr Friedrich? Oh, Frederick Thiessen. The clockmaker.
Yeah.
Oh, man. He just loved that circus, and he loved everyone in it, and God, I think he was my favorite. I think that's what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
I like him, and I like Bailey.
Yeah. And I think the characters that I felt, I don't know, like, I did get to know them, but I didn't fully understand them was the twins, was Poppet and,
Widget.
And it's like, first of all, the narrator did great Scottish accent for them, and it was very cute. But there, it was like, I got a sense of who they were and their talents, but you also were kind of like, I don't know how you felt about them, but I felt like a little bit of detachment from them almost. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure if because part of the time they felt more like a part of the story plot.
Like a plot device?
Yeah. And not always, because, like, you definitely do get enough of, you know, the relationship with Bailey, and you do get enough of them caring about Celia, and, but it, to be honest, a lot of them was, like, them eating sweets and showing Bailey around the circus, and Bailey was a bigger part of the story that I felt more connected to, whereas Widget and Poppet did often feel like a plot device for me.
I feel like it was more important that you care about Bailey than Widget and Poppet. But Widget and Poppet would make their own little, like, spin-off that would be super cute. I would definitely read more about them and their abilities. Because, so, my understanding, which I believe is correct, is that when Marco started this Eternal Fire, which is basically how he has any kind of control or power in the circus, was the moment that the twins were born. So that's why they've got their, like, special magical powers and they age and nobody else does. But, okay, so, one, they both see the future?
Widget can, read people, or, like, I, it's not really see the future, it's more, like, know more about their past. Like, he can read people, whereas Poppet can see the future in the stars.
In the stars, yeah. Okay. Either way, super rad. Although, if I had the ability to hear thoughts, I would not want that. No, yeah, and that sounds terrible. I don't want to hear what people are thinking
I think he consciously taught himself how to not automatically read people, you know? Which would also be exhausting.
Even just, like, looking at facial expressions all the time, if you're, like, an empathetic human, is exhausting, let alone hearing people's thoughts. Oh, my goodness. You'd feel so responsible all the time.
Yeah.
So, I liked Celia, I liked Marco, I liked their story, but yeah, for whatever reason, even though they're the main characters, they were not particularly, I mean, they were important, but, like, not my favorite, not super pivotal.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
I personally really liked, Isabel, like, because she was just, like, she was just, she happened to meet Marco while he was going into this challenge that he really didn't know what he was getting himself into, and they didn't really know the rules, and she was probably just, like, so confused, and she's like, I just have a crush on this dude who's, like, an illusionist and, like, writes charms and stuff, and she's like, oh, and sometimes I practice tarot cards, but, and she was actually, you know, not bad at it. She was at least very good at reading people and, like, the...
Well, and more even than that, you've come to find that for a while, everything kind of is working out with the circus. It's a lot of balance. Everything is fine. And you find that Isabel suspects... She knew that there was this challenge. She knew that Marco was involved in some kind of challenge. And she figured out that it was Celia. And I don't remember how. But she had this, like, charm box that she carried around with her. Mm-hmm. And she must have had some kind of gift of her own. Because the moment that she burned it... Or was it just the tarot card? She had both. Remember she, like, had a tarot card and she took it out of her deck, but she also had, like, a charm box of some kind. Maybe the tarot card was in the charm box.
Yeah.
I don't remember on the details. Don't at me. but the moment that she did that, like, it became more chaotic and harder to keep
stable. Oh, it became incredibly... She kind of wrecked the balance.
She screwed it up.
Yeah.
It was kind of working out and, Then it stopped.
So she actually had a really pivotal, like...
She was an important part of the plot.
Yeah, because who knows how long the challenge... Because essentially the whole thing was as we're learning about what this challenge is. And I think the only frustrating thing about the book... And it was a good frustration, like, plot device in the sense that, like, I wanted to keep reading because I wanted to know what the challenge was. Is they're building these tents and all these things in the circus... and they have to, and it comes down to balance and who can, it's kind of like if each of them keep putting stuff onto their backs, like who can hold this weight the longest. Uh-huh. And Celia was holding, I mean, they were both holding a great amount of weight, but I feel like Celia is kind of shown for holding the most. And
well, Marco, I think, because he had that, the fire, like most of his stuff was sustainable. Like he wasn't putting his thought into it all the time, which kind of just proved that Celia is way more powerful than he was.
But she wasn't smart. Like, or
She didn't manifest it in a way that like made it sustainable.
Yeah. So like he, is kind of one of those don't work smarter or work smarter, not harder, you know? And she was working so hard. So you're right. Like if she had known how to like sustain it in a fire type of thing, she could have blown him to, like, smithereens, because...
Absolutely. Absolutely. She definitely would have killed it. On that note, let's take a quick break.
All right.
So...
Welcome back. Really quickly,
Before
we jump into that, I would just like to say that the film and TV rights to The Night Circus were optioned at Summit Entertainment. A film is being produced, and someone was hired in 2012 to write the screenplay. In 2019, it was announced that the film adaptation would be directed for Lionsgate, but that's the last of it. So, I don't know. Anyways, just since you mentioned you would watch something about it.
I would. Let's see. The Night Circus. Now I'm looking on IMDb.
That's all I got so far, so...
It's in development, and it has a director, but there's no cast. Mm. Bummer.
So not moving very far along right now.
No.
Come on, guys, let's move on it, because I would really like to watch this.
Well, and Paper Magician, which is also one that I liked, except it's very chaste. Mm. Not that this is not super chaste, but, like, it's one of those series that you know it's YA because you've read three books, and they've haven't even kissed, and you're like, what is happening? How old I read I? Three books.
Roughly?
He's probably in his mid to late 20s, and she's, like, 19.
Oh, yeah, they should have kissed by now. Even Bailey gets a kiss.
I know, and that's, like, turn of the century, England. But, Paper Magician, it's good. That whole series is fast reads. Actually, I've got a whole bunch of recommendations under, like, if you liked The Night Circus, yeah, you'll love all these books. So I have several others, so we'll come back to that. So, big plot twist. We were just talking about Isabel and how she had this, like, charm box or whatever that was helping keep the circus chill and in balance. As soon as she takes that away, people from the Midnight Dinners, who are involved kind of tangentially to the circus but not in its everyday operations, started dying.
Yeah, which never happened.
Didn't happen before, and under very mysterious circumstances. So, on top of that, they also started asking questions. So, there's two sisters who are involved, and I think that they're not the ones that do costumes. That's Tante Padma.
Yeah.
Right? Padma? Whatever her name is. She does the costumes. I don't remember what Tara and...
they're around. I don't remember exactly what they do.
But Tara was asking questions. She was going around, and she was saying, have you noticed we don't age? What is happening? And so it's hard to tell whether or not, who is she talking to? She was talking to Ethan Barris. So Ethan had, like, expressed interest in both of the sisters. It was, like, this whole, like, triangle thing. But she came up to Ethan and was like, hey, what's up? And he's like, let's just roll with it. It's cool. Like, we don't need to worry about this. And then she's, like, headed back to, I think she was in France. She was in Paris or something and, like, is in the train station and you see a glimpse of the man in the gray suit.
Mm-hmm.
And then she, like, steps in front of a train.
Yeah.
So it's like, is this the circus? Is it, like, did the circus catch on? That, or is it the man in the gray suit and he's like, crap, I need to win this. Like, yeah, she's gotta go. Who did it? Who done it?
Yeah, it's kind of one of those questions were raised that no one wanted to answer.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. The other character that we have yet to talk about, but very important, was Tsukiko.
Ah, yes.
The contortionist.
Uh-huh.
Who, comes in
plot
and,
twist,
like, and she, like, is just dazzling, and she's doing these, like, maneuvers at one of the midnight dinners that people had never seen before, and she's just, yeah, like, engaging, and she has, like, tattoos all over her body, and, just immediately, yeah, very engaging, and gets hired and whatever, and she's just kind of around. We don't know too much about her. She's,
yeah,
you know, she talks to Celia.
They're friends.
Yeah.
I think she knows about the competition or something.
Well, like,
she doesn't lead on.
She doesn't lead on anything.
Lead on
she's
anything.
Just there, but she kind of has that essence of all-knowingness, you know, where, like, nothing's really surprising to her. She, you know, she's there. And you know that she has to serve some kind of purpose.
Mm-hmm.
It just hadn't been shown to us, you know, for a while in this book.
Right. Well, in this book, it doesn't have really anybody that are just kind of, like, tertiary characters that don't matter.
They're all playing, like, some purpose, yeah.
Yes, like, Aaron Morgenstern made sure that everyone in this book mattered. Because she just, there's so many characters that go unnamed, that you know that there are plenty of other people in the circus, and
yeah,
we don't talk about them. I don't even think we know Widget and Poppet's parents' names, do we? I don't think so. I can't recall them.
I can't recall.
They don't matter as much, because the kids are cool, yeah, and they train kittens. Oh my god, the acrobatic kittens!
Oh, yeah!
And then they're like, oh yeah, when they get too big, you know, bye! What, they give them away or something? I don't remember. But only the kittens. They only work with kittens.
And they also have their own tents, which was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Widget's tent. Yeah, his uh-huh, was the one where, like, the smells, it, like, brings you back to a memory or something like that. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
They're, like, the bottles or whatever. Anyways. But Tsukiko, so she, you get the sense of her knowing something. Then she, lets it be known that she knows the challenge is going on. She's like, I know what is happening, and you are putting too many lives at risk,
uh-huh,
now. Like, I don't like it. And here's how I know I was part of a challenge. And she's like,
I know.
Did she let it? Did she say that she's part of the challenge initially, or did she like let it go for a little while?
I don't remember quite that, but I do know, like, she was like, I know you're in love with Marco, and that's like, you know, you think you can have it both ways. You guys are trying to figure out how you can like stay alive be together and have the circus, but you can't.
You can't.
There's people gonna die.
You think that you can do these things, Nemo, but you can't.
You can't do it, Nemo.
She's like, I was in love too.
I loved her.
And I loved her, and then, you know,
and then she
incinerated.
Yeah.
And herself, right?
Yeah, herself.
Herself.
Yeah. And so essentially it came down to not who is the stronger person, but it's like
who has the most stamina.
That, but also I think it was kind of like, if you love the other person enough, you're going to sacrifice yourself. So even Celia and Marco, or you could tell, are having these tensions where it's like, okay, they're swinging back and forth between, let's figure out a way to save the circus and save us and all stay alive and be one big happy family. And then realizing like, no, I have to sacrifice myself. No, you can't sacrifice yourself. I need to sacrifice myself. And it's like this whole like...
Gross.
Yeah.
Love.
Yeah. But Tsukiko's just like, one of y'all better die because otherwise the rest of us are dying.
Yeah. Like this cannot go on forever.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. We can get on to thoughts as far as the conclusion of the book, because I feel like that was the only place where my opinions weren't, like, glowing. So, how did you feel about the resolve? How do you feel about how
meaning Bailey taking, like, not
even that. I'm even talking about how the challenge ended.
So, like, how do you feel ripped from, like, reality? This realm and,
being tethered to the circus,
essentially. And, like, essentially ghosts haunting the circus.
So, to be fair, if for whatever reason, if you listen to this and you do not read books, I suppose we can clue you in. Hector Bowen, Celia's dad, tried to fight, I don't know, about the time.
Yeah.
And tried to rid himself of the mortal realm, but, like, also still stick around. So now he's kind of like this spirit that only Celia can see, and he's like kind of transparent. He's not super solid.
Yeah, he's not of this realm.
Yeah, messed up though. Yeah. Like, that wasn't his goal. His goal was to, like, not be fully human, but not kind of fade in and out either.
But now he's just kind of stuck in this weird in-between where no one can see him, but he's still there.
Yes.
Forever.
So... that kind of gave Celia an idea. As soon as she told Marco, like, crap, we're in love, one of us is gonna die. That's the only way that this ends. They came up with this idea to, like, try and do what her dad did, except not be dumb. And it was successful as far as, like, what they were attempting to do. But how do you feel about it?
You know, I was all right with it. Actually, I want to first hear your thoughts, because, like, I was okay with it. What about it? Are you not 100% happy with it?
I kind of wish one of them had just died.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't need... Not that, I feel like... Okay, so when I read this when I was younger, which was still, like, in my early 20s, like, it wasn't when I was very, very young, I probably was, like...
We figured out it wasn't 10 years ago.
Yeah, so. Yeah, 10 years ago. And I'm sure that I thought it was lovely and romantic, and it was.
Yeah.
Everything that happened was lovely and romantic. But I don't always really need lovely and romantic. Mm-hmm. Like, I know why she did what she did. Like, we already had a character that sacrificed themselves to end a challenge. Like, I didn't think that was going to happen again.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it seemed too... easy,
like, almost, or like too romantic,
like, oh, this thing that we created together and now we're just stuck in it forever. Like, yes, it sounds very nice, and like, oh, they get to be together and they get to be in the circus, and the circus is self-sustaining now, and Bailey's gonna take care of it. It just seemed too much of like a bow. I didn't need it. That's all.
I think we're both in the same boat with most books, where it's like, I don't, unless it's like YA or a romance, I really don't need bows at the end of most of my books. Like, unless it's a romance and I expect like a nice bow at the end, then I'm totally fine with it. But this book, you're right. Like, I didn't have a problem with it. It was a choice, and I don't think it was like good or bad or whatever. You're right, it could have gone in the direction even where, like, let's say they're trying to accomplish what actually ended up happening, and one of them inadvertently dies. You know, where it's like, they didn't sacrifice themselves, they legitimately tried to stay together and do this thing, and it didn't work
out. Or it could have been really, really tragic, and it totally could have worked.
Yeah.
except they couldn't find each other in the circus. Like, they both, I think it was Celia more than it was Marco. Like, they go through the process. They are both kind of, like, not of an earthly realm, but they're whatever they are. But they can't see each other.
Or they survive and everyone else dies.
Everybody else dies.
It could have been a lot more dramatic is what we're saying. But
definitely could. And I didn't need drama at the same time. I don't know what I would have done. And it's not like I'm super dissatisfied or anything. I still enjoyed the book. But, I just didn't need the bow. That's all.
Yeah. That's an interesting, thing to think about.
Because I don't really think, it is a romantic book, and there are romance elements to it, but this is not a romance novel.
No.
It's like a fantasy novel.
Yeah. Really,
if you like steampunk and you like fantasy, this is the book for you.
It's really good. Yeah. It reminds me of, did you ever watch Grey's Anatomy?
I mean, probably like the first 5 seasons, yeah.
Okay, well, I'm going to out myself as guilty pleasure. I really like Grey's Anatomy, and this is total spoiler, so if you haven't been caught up on Grey's Anatomy, they did the same thing where they, you know how, notoriously in Grey's, anytime a character doesn't want to be that actor on that show anymore, they just, like, kill him off, essentially.
Oh, yeah.
So, there's been a guy who's been on it since, like, day one, and he finally said, I don't want to be on Grey's Anatomy anymore.
Which character?
He plays, Krev, Dr. Krev, like, kind of asshole doctor. Yeah. Doctor.
I can't believe he's still on the show.
Yeah, well, he's not anymore. And, spoilers. he's gone. But how they wrote him off was essentially, like, because now he's, like, married with someone in the show, and they wrote him off saying, oh, I found this old love who was, like, Izzy, who was played by Katherine Heigl. And he's like, yeah, and now we live on a farm in Kansas with 2 kids. And that's how they, like, wrote him off. And that was, it made me so infuriated. And of course I'm still going to watch the show because I'm a Grey's Anatomy fan. But, like, it was just one of those things where I'm like, you made this into so much of a bow that didn't work because he's an asshole. He's like, honestly, I wish they had killed him off. Like, he could have gotten in, like, a car crash or something. That would have been
better people.
Yeah, and they also, while I'm airing my grievances, they killed Dr. Mick Dreamy in the dumbest way possible. Yeah, I don't, another spoiler. It was a car crash, but it wasn't just like a car crash. He answered his phone while he was perpendicular to a blind corner of oncoming traffic, and a semi runs into him. And I was just like, "You're a doctor, dude! Like, why would
doctor
you like
you're a dumbass?"
Yeah, and he like. Perpendicular to a blind corner of traffic, and I was just like, no, this sucks.
So, if you really want Taylor to rewatch every episode of Grey's Anatomy and give you content, please DM us.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that's the thing now. People are just recap shows.
Yeah.
Recap shows for, recap podcasts for shows that were on a long time ago.
And I have a lot of feelings about it, starting from day dot, but man, am I a diehard fan, and I will watch it until it goes off the air.
I know about all of the deaths, and I feel like I watched, this is obviously very important, I watched until Christina was gone.
She was great.
And that was after they already owned the hospital.
Yeah, of course.
I think that's it, because, like, I remember some Arizona Cali drama, I think that's where I stopped. So that's probably, like, honestly, it's, like, season 15 now. I feel like I watched half the show.
Yeah.
I have not watched probably in 7 or 8 years, though.
It would be fun, like, going into med school, doing a Grey's Anatomy rewatch, and, like, actually going over how poorly they did. Yeah. anywho, we're way off topic. Sorry. I meant to do that in a way that, I don't like how they tied everything up in, in that kind of, like, where it could have just been, not necessarily more drama, like, in the Night Circus, going back to that, there could have been some kind of, more than the fact that they're just, like, ghosts haunting the Night Circus now, there could have been an element of, kind of leaving you on edge, like, it didn't end so perfectly.
Well, and we don't see all of the bows. Mm-hmm. Like, we've got Bailey, and we've got, maybe everybody started aging, I don't know. Yeah. Like, after Celia and Marco are lonely and they can only spend forever with each other, Maybe enjoy that.
Yeah, forever. Because, like,
nobody, I mean, Bailey can see Celia.
Yeah.
But Bailey doesn't see Marco. Can Poppet and Widget? Nobody else can. You are, it's literally just you and your spouse forever.
Watching the same show over and over. It's like, come on.
Well, there isn't going to be new content. Yeah. Because they're exactly. The content creators. So, like, yeah, maybe that's not ideal. Like, I love my partner. I love all my friends. I love all these people. I don't think that I would be eternally happy if my only company was one other person for eternity.
I was gonna
say, it's not even like for the rest of their lives. Like, it is.
Do you watch Good Place finale?
I did.
Okay, because that kind of reminds me of that. So,
yeah.
I'm going to do more spoilers. If you haven't watched The Good Place finale, I want to skip ahead for a second. First of all, watch it. It's great. But, like, spoilers.
Hit that skip, like, four times.
Yeah, because that's what it was where when they got to The Good Place and the actual Good Place and they realized people were, like, just so brainwashed and, like, dead and just, like, so complacent and they're not really knowing what to do because when you have eternity to do whatever, you really don't, there's no value. In things.
Yeah.
And so I thought they did a brilliant job where they said, the way we fix The Good Place is we give people an out. You never have to take this out if you never want to, but just knowing it's there when you've reached such nirvana and peace, like in Reincarnation Blues, when you've reached perfect nirvana, you just go and become like one, and you don't really know what happens, but you don't have to be living this life. And it's not because you don't love the other person, because obviously in that scenario it was like Chidi and Eleanor, and they genuinely love each other, but it's at some point when you have something forever and you can't grasp that concept of forever, you don't even want to learn anymore, you don't even want to create anymore.
You're like overstimulated, you're done.
So I thought that was really brilliant, where it's like, now, in the context of the night circus, they have forever.
Forever.
Yeah.
Or, like, as long as the circus is running.
Yeah.
Like, maybe the circus dies, and then Celia and Marco die also, or whatever. But all I'm saying is that that sounds lovely for a piece of time.
Mm-hmm.
But not for, like, 1,000 years.
Yeah.
Lovely, romantic, wonderful suspension of disbelief that that's what everybody wants or something. But, I don't, maybe I don't love anybody enough. I don't love anybody enough to only spend 1,000 years with one other person. You need other people's opinions and thoughts or you're never going to learn and grow. You can't just watch a circus all the time. So that's my soapbox. I'm really sorry. That being said, I thoroughly enjoyed this book. One of the most heartbreaking parts to me was, Marco went to the circus because he knew the man in gray would be there. Yes.
What part are you talking about?
At the end when Herr Frederick dies.
Oh, yeah.
Marco goes and Hector is there. I don't remember who the man in gray is actually aiming for. I don't remember. Oh, it's probably, what's his face? The other guy. Why did I Google that? I messed with my list. No. I'm looking for a character. Oh, I feel so inept. Ethan Barris.
Ah.
Ethan Barris goes and he had talked to Lainey and was like, yeah, Tara's death is suspicious. This isn't great. Blah, blah, blah. He goes to the circus and the man in gray, like, throws a knife in his direction and it ends up hitting Herr Frederick, which is just so sad. He is the creator of these beautiful clocks, including, because I've definitely seen them, obviously, including the one that, like, welcomes everybody whenever they get to the circus. And he was the very first reveur. He's obsessed. And is, like, a friend of Celia's. Like, they were writing each other letters for all of these years. And that made me very sad. I was very affected by his death. Because it felt unjust.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah, that was a good one. And then the other thing that is when Chandresh is trying to figure out what is actually happening, like, with the circus and whatever.
God, he loses his damn mind.
Yeah, he's literally going crazy. Yes. And, like, you know...
Marco, like, wipes his mind, his brain too many times.
So many times. And, yeah, you're just like, oh, I don't know what's gonna... what that's gonna do to a person, so...
Oh, it's so sad. Yeah. And I'm sure it had lasting effects, like, even after Marco poofed himself... That's what I'm gonna call it. After he poofed himself, I realized it almost sounded like pooped.
Pooped, yeah. I got that.
I don't think he did that. Although, okay. After he did that, I have a second thing.
Go on.
I have a second thing, but it doesn't have to do with poop, I promise. But maybe it does. After Marco poofed himself, I don't think that Chandras ever goes back to normal. Like, he's just, like, a crazy old rich guy.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, oh, that's just crazy old Chandras.
Yeah.
Okay. Speaking of poop, but not really. What the hell happened to their bodies? Like, they poofed themselves.
Yeah.
And they're in this, like, other earthly plane, a different dimension. I don't know. Whatever the heck you want to call it. Where are the bodies?
Oh, you mean...
They poofed themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
Where are their... The carbon, the elemental, the organic, the cells, chemistry. The organs. We can go into our next book. Where are their cadavers?
Yeah,
are they?
Wow, okay. let's look at the possibilities in our next book, Stiff. they could have been turned into compost.
They could be plasticized.
They could be in gross anatomy labs.
They certainly could. Or just the arm.
Or just the head. Face.
Just the head.
Okay, that we have to say. That was a crazy conversation. That's a little sneak peek into the next
man.
Episode.
Read but, Stiff.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Read Stiff, get ready for next time.
Ready.
It's going to be crazy.
Yeah, where are their bodies? Like, did Bailey and Widget just have to, like, burn them?
I'm
did they get tossed onto the eternal fire?
I'm going to go with magic on this one. It was magicked away. I'm going to go...
Magicked.
I mean, what happened to Prospero's body?
Hector?
Yeah.
Are we calling him Prospero?
I don't know.
And that's his magic name.
Yeah, his magic. It was magicked away. Where is it?
I mean, Celia probably. I thought they had a fake funeral. Everybody thinks he's dead.
Yeah, but it doesn't
So, like, maybe there was a body.
It didn't specify that. I think it was magicked away.
I feel like your devil's advocating me. that's a verb. I don't know. I don't know why this has only... I only thought about this now. But seriously... Where are the bodies? Maybe we should read true crime next, and then we'll find out where the bodies are.
Yeah, give us suggestions for some true crime.
True crime would be good, as long as it's not like, so there's a podcast I listen to, weird, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's called Last Podcast on the Left. If you like true crime, and you also don't get irritated by weird impressions, then listen to it. If you do get irritated by weird impressions, like your brother-in-law, he cannot listen to it. He tried. He can't do it. They do, they say the phrase, like, capital true crime. So, like, in a world where, right. Like, they think of it as, like, oh, this is, like, marketable true crime. As opposed to, you know, like, the doc that I'm watching right now, which is that child abuse thing that happened in the Antelope Valley on Netflix. It's very upsetting. Don't watch it if you don't want to be upset. But
is it well done?
So far, I watched one episode and I want...
Did you cry?
I kind of want to kill myself. Like, it was, it's a lot.
Oh.
I'm a teacher. It's, like, this 8-year-old kid who was, like, abused within an inch of his life. Anyway, so, true crime would be really, really great. Let's do some rating before we talk about new books.
Yeah.
There's so much more to say about this book. This doesn't need to be an hour and a half podcast, but this book is wonderful if you like books.
Yeah,
if you like any books, you should read this book.
So if you haven't read this book, and you listen to this whole thing for some reason, I will spoil a whole lot, but still read it. It's totally worth
it. The language is so much more beautiful than our words. Our words are just garbage in comparison. Aaron Morgenstern did such a great job.
Yeah, like, I'm almost done with this drink, too, and bubbles go to my head. So by the end of this, I will...
It's fine. You can drink the rest of the bottle. I have to drive home. I'm looking really quickly, while I'm doing that, maybe think of, who do you want to rate what? I want to see what else Aaron Morgenstern has done.
I'll rate the book, if you want to rate, or pick the rating for the drink.
Sure.
Okay.
Yep.
I already know, I just need a number. Is there any significant numbers in this?
I mean, there's lots of clocks. Clocks have numbers.
Clocks do. So, maybe 12?
Sure, we can
actually,
do that.
Actually, no, I'm going to do it out of 24. Whoop, no, didn't want you,
Siri. Nobody is talking to you.
I'm going to do it out of 24. Okay. Like 24 hours in a day.
24 hours in a day.
And I'm going to do it out of 24 charms.
24 charms.
Like, because okay. he writes sure. all his charms in his yeah. little notebook.
He does have his little fancy notebook.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So, you want me to kick it off?
Yeah.
I'm going to give it a solid. Hold on. Because you know what I realize
are
is...
Are you...
I'm doing math.
You're doing math? You're doing a percentage right now?
Well, yeah, because sometimes I give it a rating and then I look back later and I was like, I gave it a 75 when I meant to give it like an 80-something, you know? So I'm just checking myself. Yeah, no, I'm good with that. I'm going to give it a solid 22 charms. It's like a 91%.
Okay. Reasons?
So it's an A. So it's an
gave
A.
Gave it an A.
I gave it an A. Definitely an A. Because when we're talking about enjoyability, would totally read it again. There's yes. a lot of stuff that I'll easily forget and will be excited to relive. I'd like to actually read the book next time, even though listening to it was an absolute delight. So I recommend it probably both ways.
Cool. I literally have a physical copy right yeah. here.
So maybe I'll read it.
I got you.
But I think the storyline was compelling the entire way through. I think that not knowing the challenge kept me wanting to read. And for a fairly big book, it went by so fast. I was totally immersed in it. My willing suspension of disbelief was there. I genuinely felt like throughout the majority of the book that magic could be real. And I loved it.
I'm totally okay if magic is real, by the way. Out of 24, I think I'll agree with you and also give it a 22, only because if you give it a 21, then that's a B+, and it's not a B+ book. You're right. This is an A book. It is beautifully written. The prose are wonderful. 90% of the characters are very, very well developed. You care about mostly the right people. I dig it. I especially love books where I get to, like, go back to Europe. Yeah. So, like, this, like, All the Light We Cannot See, like... But also coming from a place of, like, relative privilege. Like, going, having been at those places, like, it is, yeah. it's easier to picture all of those scenes than if I had not been there.
Totally.
Loved it. Love the fact that even though I said at the beginning of this that everything is about time and you can see it all over the place, it's not, like, super in your face when it comes to symbols and an illusion and other kind of... Well, there's lots of illusions.
Yeah. Well, but there are a lot of illusions.
There are a lot of illusions.
But it's not, like... It's not written in a way where it's, like, pat myself on the back.
It doesn't feel contrived. Yeah. It's not condescending. It's not contrived. She's not trying to come off as, like, pompous or smart or anything. It just is well-written and well-developed and an enjoyable read. So, I have recommended this to everyone, and it does seem that most of the people who have enjoyed this, and I am sure that I'm completely wrong, in my friend circle of the people I know, the only people that haven't really liked it were dudes. So I don't... And it...
Sorry for the dog in the background, no? You're so quiet.
He was doing so well. It's not... And I don't even think it's that my male friends didn't like it. I think it's just not at the same level that my female friends did. Because my sister, my friend Brianna actually was the person that gave me the book. And she was like, this is incredible. You need to read it.
Yeah.
So before I do recommendations, because I do have recommendations, I want to do the drink.
Oh, yeah. I'm trying to remind myself
that I really, really want to do recommendations.
Got it.
Okay. So I'm going to rate it. I'm going to half yours. I'm going to do it out of 12.
Okay.
And I'm going to go... out of 12 of Chandra's weird rooms. Oh, because it seems like Celia got nice little tours in this, like, bizarre kind of... It reminded me, if you've ever been to San Jose, there's a place called the Winchester Mansion.
Oh, yeah.
Which is just bizarre. It's a bizarre place. She just kept building and building and building. It's a weird place. And it kind of felt like this. Like, he kept designing all these places in his house because he was losing his damn mind and needed something to, like, be... sustain himself or whatever. So he had a garden and he had these ballrooms, whatever. So out of 12, I'm gonna give it a 10. I liked it. I like champagne cocktails. I'll give it a B. I'm pretty okay with a traditional French 75. Mm-hmm. So I like, you know, my Saint Germain, my champagne, in a nice little pretty flute. This was good. The lemon juice was great.
Yeah.
I liked the gin element because that kind of added, like, a really floral scent to it, too, which I was very much into. But I feel like I've only given A's to cocktails where I'm like, I would like another, please. Can you refill this right now?
Yeah.
I'm okay with having one of these. I don't need any more.
I agree with that.
The only reason to drink the rest of that champagne is because, like, it's gonna go bad.
Yeah, I mean, you, you can't let it go to waste. You can't let it go
bad.
Maybe I'll have a mimosa bar tonight. Bring it full circle.
Oh my god, please just use the cranberry sauce in the cupboard. You don't have any cranberry juice. What are you
when
gonna
we were
do?
When we were trying to figure out drinks, we were looking for maraschino cherries, and I said I had cranberry sauce. So, you know, maybe
you know,
it's
it
good.
Would have been way funnier, though, if we had just sliced off, if it was the slicing
it
cranberry.
It is. It 100% is, so.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Just, can you slice it and float it? You know, like in an apple martini where they put, like, a full slice of the apple, like, almost like a, what do they call that in medicine? A, bilateral? Straight across, like, the middle of the apple? I don't know. But they float it on top of an apple martini. I feel like a slice of cranberry sauce just, like, floating. That sounds terrible.
That would
terrible.
Look so gross,
oh, my
too.
God. Now we know what to do for Thanksgiving this year. Ugh. Oh, gross. What do you...
I'm giving it 9.5 because that gives me a 79%. I was checking.
Would you consider... Okay, so I'm a teacher, so I think of these things. Would you consider that a B- or a C+?
I'd give it a B-.
B-, okay.
If someone got to a 79%, like, I would deem it a B-.
Yeah.
I was going to say, it's 9 full rooms and a bathroom. That's how I'm doing.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, like,
okay.
And, like, not a half bathroom.
Like a powder room. Oh, no, a full bathroom.
I was going to do a full bathroom. Because, like, those other rooms are huge. So I'd say a full bath is probably a half a room, so.
God, it's the biggest bathroom.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm going to give it 9.5. I like gin. Bubbles aren't usually my thing.
Yeah.
And that's the only reason why I rated it a little bit lower. But this wasn't bad.
It was a nice kind of a balance. I was into it.
All right. Recommendations?
Okay, so recommendations. So I would recommend Paper Magician. To be fair, I had my sister's Kindle login.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in Europe and was like, I don't want to buy, I've read, there are a lot of trains when you're traveling around a lot.
Yeah.
I had already read the book that I packed, which is also another one that I'm going to recommend. And I left it in my Airbnb in Brussels. So I hope that somebody else enjoyed it at some point in time, even though it was the third book in a series, but I could not imagine carrying it around any longer. But read any, it's Paper Magician and the two that follow. If you're not interested in slightly chaste, romance-y books about magic, then don't read that. But there's also another series, and the first book in that series is called Caraval. Mm-hmm. And it's very similar to The Night Circus, where it's this caraval that happens every year, and you have to be invited to it, and it's kind of like a game, and Legend is the, I think that's the name of the second book, Legend is this, like, mysterious character who does all of this really cool magic, and it gets very dramatic, and it takes place in kind of this fictitious land that's very much just kind of like Europe, but there's pirates and there's intrigue, and it's about two sisters, and like one of the sisters disappears and the other one has to find her. I loved the series. It was great. And super cheesy at the same time.
Yeah.
So if you're into that,
sometimes, you know,
make it happen, man. So those are mine. Do you have anything that you think, if you like The Night Circus, you would like this book?
Harry Potter? I don't know. No, I mean, nothing specifically that came to mind for me. It was a bit of a new thing for me. Did you read The Magicians?
I did.
Yeah.
Only the first one, though.
All right. So, I mean...
I have it, if you would like to read it. We could read it. I'd read it again. It's a sci-fi show.
Mm-hmm. Like, I've seen the first episode. That's why,
I have watched everything but the season that's playing right now.
And
so,
is it good?
Read the book first.
Yeah.
Like I said, I haven't read book two or book three, which I should do. I have a buddy that has them all. But I know that the first season relatively closely follows the first book.
Mm-hmm.
So I imagine maybe two and three are like that. But honestly, the show is bananas.
Yeah.
It is bananas, especially where you're at now. Like, if I just turned this on and my husband walked in the room, he'd probably be like, What is this? What are you watching?
All right, fair. I'm down to read the book at some point. Yeah. Because this one was really fun, and I do like magical things, you know? Mm-hmm. I like to mix it up. We were just saying we want to get more into, sci-fi and stuff that, which I have a recommendation for, but,
yeah. I'm excited to read that, too.
Yeah. So, I think that's it for The Night Circus. Coming up next, we're going to be talking about, which we kind of hinted to, Stiff, The Curious Lives of Human Cadavers by Mary Roach. I am very excited to discuss this book.
Me too.
I also added to my Goodreads list, a bunch of her other ones, because she does a lot of those
deep dives.
I want to
read, Boink.
Yeah, and Gulp, I wanted
and
to.
Gulp?
Yeah, so,
We'll definitely get into this, but, Justin, I even listened to it. I didn't read it because I was on, you know how when you're on Libby and you're waiting for a digital copy and you're also waiting for the audio, I read whatever comes first.
Same.
And in this case, it was the audio.
Yeah, I request both in whichever one.
Exactly. So I listened to it. Whoever did the recording was, it made me feel like she was speaking in Mary Roach's voice.
That's
just
very
because
cool.
It felt so natural. God, I want to read all of her books now.
Same, yeah. So I added
Boink was one that
Bonk.
Was pre- or Bonk. Sorry,
yeah, the
was,
Curious Coupling of Science and Sex.
Yeah, that one was recommended to me because I was at a roller skating birthday party because that's what you do when you're my age,
of course.
And I was telling someone, I was like, oh my god, I just finished the best book. And they're like, oh, what book? And I was like, it's about cadavers. It's so cool. And they're like, oh, no, we've read that. Yeah. You should read this book now.
And the other one is a Gulp: Adventures of the Elementary Canal. So, that one sounds interesting.
Super interesting.
But anyways, I'll probably end up reading more of her books, and maybe in the future we'll be able to read more of her books. But join us next time. Definitely read that one. I hope we hyped it up enough for you, because it's really good and worth a read.
Yeah, I don't even think we overhyped that. I feel like, here's the deal. There was one point where I think I was even slight. I'm not, generally a squeamish person. There was one point where I think I scowled while I was driving, and because it only happened once, and it was one of the so very thoughtfully done with humor, not overly clinical. She's not an expert; she is doing investigative journalism in order to find this out, and that's what's refreshing. It is it is from a journalist's perspective. It is not from an expert's perspective.
And she's humorous without being dismissive or
disrespectful
derogatory.
Or anything.
No. She's very, I think she takes everything she's doing very seriously and describes things in a way that is good for the common, you know, whoever. You don't need to know anything about anything to read her books. So
if you were, I think the only reason we lead with that now as opposed to on the next episode is just because people, even telling a couple people that I was reading this book, they're like, what?
Yeah.
Really? It's not something to be apprehensive about, because it's super respectful and lighthearted and at the same time incredibly serious and
makes you
thoughtful.
Think. Yeah, makes you think.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So check it out. You can hit us up.
Oh, yeah. Please
on
do.
The usual places. We can be reached at DPS_podcast on both Instagram and on Twitter.
You can always email us on drunkpoetsocietypodcast@gmail.com.
And on top of that, we have, we're still waiting on, some, more voice messages.
And these can be
on
literally
Anchor.
Anything.
That is very, very true. We like haikus, so you can send us
we
a
like
haiku.
Puns.
Puns are great. Cocktail names?
Yeah.
Even if you just, come up and read a bunch of them. And if you don't want to be featured, we do not have to feature you on the podcast, but it's kind of a fun thing to do.
But we just want to hear from you.
Yeah.
More
sci-fi. Seriously, always sci-fi. We do have one in the works. We are going to read a sci-fi book. But if you have something you really, really love other than Dune, because it's a million pages, unless that's probably fantasy, I don't know, let us know. And if you do want us to read Dune, maybe over the summer is probably the best time to do that.
Like, anything that has, really hefty page numbers, give us, the summer to do, because we're both in school and working
right
now.
We're
going to
do Dragonfly and Amber
that's
over
true.
The summer.
Yeah. I'm very excited for that one, though.
Yeah.
So. Because also, I'm not allowing myself to watch any more of the series until I've read the book. So I've only watched season one. I've
Ooh,
only read the first book.
Maybe that's
what
I'll do tonight. There wasn't. I'm two episodes behind.
Oh, well.
I've read all the books. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today for this wonderful, wonderful book.
Thank you, Drunk Poets. And just please always remember that it is not reading alone. Drinking alone.
The bubbles go to your head, girl.
It's not drinking alone.
There you go. If you have a book. Bye. Bye.